The scripture reading is taken from the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, the 21st to the 26th verses. And the scripture reads, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord who blesses all things, bless the reading and the receiving of his word." You may be seated.
Dr. Hall, Dr. Lee, distinguished faculty, staff, family and friends, and my fellow graduates. It is indeed a privilege, an honor, and a joy for me to be with you today, to stand here as a representative of the graduating class of 1989 on this great day of celebration. I'm humbled as I stand here because I realize that it's by God's grace and his faithfulness that we are here today. To him be all the praise, honor, and glory. He is worthy. You know, Dr. Hall, this has been a beautiful service, but I must admit there was a time during the awards ceremony that I was a little nervous. I got thinking about it. This is the fifth baccalaureate service since I've been at AGTS. Students have come. They've earned MAs and MDivs, and they've gone. They've come and they've gone. They've come and they've gone, and I've stayed. But to my friends in the graduating class, let me say there's a few of you who have brought great comfort to me today. As I looked out, and I saw Ed Ferguson, Barb Strickland, Ernie Johansson, and a few of the rest of you. I knew that I wasn't the only one who had gone through on the lifetime plan. So, you brought comfort to me today. As I look across the congregation, I see many friends. It would be impossible to recognize all of you today, but I would like to say thank you. It's good to have you with us today. I would like to recognize some very special people. My mother-in-law, Wardella Plymire, is here. My father and mother, Harold and Lena Atkins. And, of course, that very special lady in my life, my wife, Judy. Love you, darling. But as soon as we get a chance, we're going to go out and splurge. I'll take you to the best McDonald's in town. We're still on a student budget, friends. And thinking about the service today, I realized very quickly that I have no new insight to share, especially no new truth. I don't have a homiletically excellent sermon to present. But after prayer and preparation, I believe I have God's message for this service. Join me in prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great love that you've manifested in our lives. And Lord, for the rest of this service, for this portion, we ask that you be exalted, that you be uplifted. Lord, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon the speaking lip and the listening ear. May we hear your message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading we listened to this morning seems like an unlikely choice for a text on such a day as this, a day of celebration and joy. And yet, from that text, that portion of scripture, I have chosen a theme for my message this morning. Lamentations is a book of grief, of mourning, of sorrow. In it, Jeremiah tells of the sorrow and anguish that occurred in Jerusalem at the time of the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC to the Babylonians. It's a sorrowful commentary on the sorrow, the pain, the agony of that time. In chapter 3, Jeremiah becomes very personal. He shares from his own heart the pain and the grief that he feels and knows as he looks and witnesses his own people and the land that he loves being destroyed. And yet it's in the midst of that that we see a marvelous expression of hope, confidence, and trust in God's faithfulness. It's as though he looks with spiritual eyes and he takes his eyes off the circumstances, the surroundings, and he lifts his gaze heavenward, and there he sees his God, the faithful God. As I look around our world today, if I have a sensitive heart, I too feel grief and anguish. I don't see physical destruction as Jeremiah did, but there is that devastation and destruction of spiritual and moral values that impacts all of life. Our world is a needy world today. And yet with Jeremiah, I can say that I have hope. When I look to the graduating class of 1989, I have hope. I have high expectations, for I see men and women who are the products of God's grace and God's faithfulness. I see men and women who have been equipped and ready to serve. I see men and women who are gifted by God. Each one of you has been given gifts and abilities by God. Don't ever forget that, but hang on to that. Be what God would have you to be today, and in your rest of your life to come. And yet, our hope is not in ourselves. It's not in ourselves, our gifts, our abilities, our knowledge. That's not enough. But as we with spiritual eyes look heavenward, we see the one who is the source of our hope, the one who is the giver of gifts, the one who has provided for our equipping. We see our God, our faithful God. I have three simple points I'd like to share today concerning God's faithfulness. First of all, we see that God's faithfulness is declared in Scripture. And let me say, I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in Scripture. The Bible is our only authoritative rule of faith and practice. It's the book upon which we stand. It's not some dead, dry book of old stories, but it's the living Word of God that speaks to us today. God has revealed Himself through His Word in a rationalistic and reasoning world. I believe in the revelation of God. I believe in His Word. And God's Word declares His faithfulness. In the Old Testament, we see it. In the Pentateuch, in the prophets, God has come and He sets up covenant with man, mere man. And yet, in spite of the unfaithfulness of man, God remains faithful to His Word and to His people. I look at the Psalms. I like David. First of all, the guy has a good name, but beyond that, amen. Beyond that, he's human. He's real. He shares with us from the depths of his heart. He's a lot like you and me. Take Psalms 31, for instance. Deliver me, O Lord. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weary with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed with anguish. I don't know about you, but that sure sounds like some of the prayers I prayed on a night before a Greek final, or a night before Dr. McGee's term paper was due. David's for real. He's a lot like us. And as we look to the Psalms, we see that he expresses the full gamut of human emotion, but yet he sees God's faithfulness. He begins the Psalms talking about his distress, his concern over the current situation, but as he focuses on his God, there's a change that takes place. And by the end, he's praising God for who he is, for what he's done, for his word, for his faithfulness. God's faithfulness is also declared in the New Testament. Throughout, we see God's faithfulness declared. Because God is faithful, He can be counted upon. He can be counted upon to forgive sins. And friends, maybe you've come today, and you've come to honor a graduate, a son, a daughter, a friend of yours. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's nothing more that these graduates would like to see than for you to make that choice to come to the Lord today, to accept Him and His forgiveness, to come into that right relationship with Him. God is faithful to forgive sins. As well, He's faithful to give strength for the Christian life. He gives strength through temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He gives strength and protection through evil, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. He gives strength in the turmoil of suffering, 1 Peter 4:19. And yes, God remains faithful, even though men are not faithful. Because God is faithful, He can be counted upon to complete what He finishes. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 puts it this way: the one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Seminary is not the end, but it's just the beginning. The one who has called you is faithful. He will do it. God's faithfulness is also seen in life experience. I like the life of Joseph. It's interested me, and it's been a blessing to me as I've read the account there in Genesis. Joseph was a handsome young man. This guy was a good-looking dude. He had a lot going for him, and he had a God-given dream. And yet we see that he was thrown into a cistern. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And you know the details of the story. He finds himself a slave in Potiphar's house. He's hit rock bottom. But there's a phrase there: the Lord was with Joseph. And things start going along, they improve, they get better. Life looks bearable, and then it happens again. He's falsely accused, he's thrown into prison for something he hasn't done. He's hit bottom again. He spent some of the prime years of his life in prison. And yet we see this statement: and the Lord was with him. And on it goes. We see that he interprets the dream for Pharaoh's cupbearer. And Pharaoh's cupbearer is released and returned to his position, just as Joseph had said he would. And it looks good again. Hey, Joseph may actually be freed and be able to live as a free man. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks, three, 1 month, 2 months, three, 1 year. I wonder how he felt. I wonder what struggles and emotions he had at that point in time. And yet we see that the Lord was with him. Well, as you know, the end of the story. After 2 years, Pharaoh's cupbearer remembers him. Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. He interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he's set up as head over all of Egypt. And yes, his God-given dream comes true. It's an amazing story of God's faithfulness. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of the difficulties and the struggles that he must have gone through, God was with him. God was faithful. And yes, his God-given dream was fulfilled. God's faithfulness can be seen in a number of lives, men and women in the Bible, Christians throughout history. Many of our pioneers in our fellowship can come and tell us stirring and moving testimonies of how God has sustained them by his grace and his faithfulness. But let's bring it up to date. Today, God has called you and me. He has led us to seminary. And we are here today because of the grace and the faithfulness of our God. We are here today because of his faithfulness. He has sustained us and brought us to this point. Our God is faithful. Many of you, if we had time, could come up here and share your own story, how God has led you, how God has been faithful to you. I think back and I recall a cold November evening, standing on a street corner, waiting for a taxi that never came. I had struggled with the call of God, and I'd prayed and I'd been struggling and fighting with it. I was involved in business, doing quite well. I had good career opportunity, but I couldn't get away from the call of God. And one night, God met me in a very real way. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, God was calling me to come to seminary to prepare for full-time ministry. So I went to work. I took my week of vacation I had coming at that time. Hopped in the car, had car problems. So had some work done. I lost half the week. I didn't get out till the middle of Wednesday. By 6:30 Wednesday evening, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, with a car that wouldn't run. I checked with different dealers. No one could help me at that time. They were closed. I called the dealer back home. He says, take it to a Shell station. We'll pay for it. It's our fault. Okay? The lady in the restaurant said, hey, there's a Shell station just down the road. They work on cars. Okay, great. Why don't you just run down there? It's just a little ways down the road. A little ways down the road turned into 2 miles on a long, cold, windy evening. When I arrived, they were open, but no mechanics were there. I couldn't contact anyone to work on the car, so I called a cab, planning to go back to the car, spend the night in the motel. I went out to the corner to wait on the cab. The taxi that never came. I stood, I waited, the wind blew. I was alone, it was cold. The God who had been so real the week before seemed miles and miles away. Questions came. Am I doing the right thing? Is this really what I should be doing? If this is what God wants me to do, why is this happening to me? I don't understand. God, what's going on? And I struggled, as God seemed a million miles away. And to make a long story short, here I stand today. In that circumstance, there was no awareness of God. But He was there. He was faithful. And I stand here today as a product of God's grace and God's faithfulness. By nothing that I have done, but it's by His grace and His faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. His faithfulness can be seen in life experiences. As well, the faithfulness of our God is the key to our future. As we look to the future, it looks uncertain. We see the changes in our world. We see the strife and the struggle in China. We see institutions and ideologies being challenged. We look in our own country. We see the AIDS epidemic. The violence of the drug wars have come to small city America. The abortion issue still stares us in the face. There's lack of ethics in our government. Immorality abounds. Our fellowship has just celebrated its 75th year this year. But the question comes, will we go the way of all other revival movements? Or will we continue to be a vital Pentecostal voice, sharing the message of God in power and in truth? We can cower before the challenges and the responsibilities that face us, or we can, with faith and confidence in the faithfulness of our God, stand and say our lives are going to count for God. Our lives can count because of His faithfulness. Because of God's faithfulness, our lives can count today. They can count in spite of the wiles of the devil. We don't say much about him anymore, and we shouldn't. But at the same time, we need to be aware that we are in a warfare and we do have an enemy of our souls who would destroy us and destroy the work of God. But in spite of the wiles of the devil, our lives can count because God is faithful. Our lives can count in spite of the failure of others. In spite of the fact that men are faithless and fail, our God remains faithful. He will sustain us. In spite of the opposition of others, our God remains faithful and He will sustain us. Our lives can count for God in spite of the circumstances in life that we may face, in spite of the cares of life, in spite of the disappointment, the disillusionment, the questions that can come. Our lives can count because our God is faithful. In spite of circumstances, the hurtful acts of fellow believers, the struggles that can occur in life, our lives can count because God is faithful. In spite of the arrogance of unbelievers, and in spite of the lure of the world, our lives can count because our God is faithful. In spite of the challenges that face us, friends, our lives can count for God because He is faithful. God's faithfulness is the key to our future. Our God's faithful. It's a simple message. It's something we all know. I realize I'm not saying anything that we don't know. It's no new truth, no new insight. But I think it is something that we do need to remember. God's faithful. It's declared in Scripture. It's seen in our life experiences. And it really is the key to our future. Less than a week ago, one of the great missionaries of our fellowship died and passed in Jesus' presence. Mark Buntain was a man greatly used by God. After hearing of his death, I spent some time this week and went back to read an old book that I'd picked up and flipped through it and read some excerpts. The Compassionate Touch, a book which talks about his ministry and his life there in Calcutta, India. And there was a prayer that I read. It's a time when he was going through much struggle, much challenge. But this is the prayer that he prayed. Oh God, you have never failed us. We have always depended upon you. You have called us to build this work. We have given our lives for this place. You will not fail us. When we look at Calcutta, India today, there's a strong, vital work for God going on there because of a man who had faith in God's faithfulness. Friends, I've said all this to say one thing. Hold on to your dream, that God-given dream and desire that God's placed within your heart. Don't let anything take that from you. For our God is faithful. Our lives can count because He is faithful. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it.